Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello and welcome to the Runner's World Podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
Today we're asking, has running become too expensive in the company of Jen Bazon, Kate Carter? So just a one-word answer, but is it too expensive then?
Let's wrap this up quickly. Yes. No, we sit in the office and we get emails come through regularly about new product that's being launched. Yes. And you kind of look at the cost of things across the broad spectrum of running, and then things like the Adidas Pro Evo 1 appear, which is this shoe, if anyone hasn't heard about it, it's a shoe that Adidas released. It's a very limited edition shoe designed very much for their, I'd say, autumn marathon campaign with the pros, but you can buy one if you have €500, £400, $500 going. And it's, I would say, it's definitely shifted the bar in terms of how expensive is, like, the cost of running. Like, I mean, this is hugely nuanced, high-end element of running, but it's not...
It's kind of been coming, hasn't it?
Yeah,
it's like has. There's a trend in the shoe market towards it.
And, you know, and immediately I don't want to launch in some sort of attack against Adidas. They've sort of stipulated that it's a very unique shoe, and to make it is quite a complicated process. So there's, I guess, cost involved in that design and the process and all those sorts of things that you have to take into account, and if you can afford it, essentially, and all these. But it's a line in the sand in terms of outside looking in on running. What is the cost of running?
What's going on in running?
Is what happened in cycling and continues to happen in cycling? Yeah. Is that happening in running? Is this sort of what you need to spend your money on to enjoy running versus what you can just exponentially spend money on? What's the difference?
So it doesn't last, right? This shoe's designed, I think the quote was one race, so one marathon, and plus familiarization time, which is unspecific, but let's imagine that's like, say, 20 miles. So you're looking at a shoe that you may be going to throw away after, what, 50 miles?
Or self-destruct after.
Yeah, the shoe was self-destruct after. So, it's quite, I mean, how did you feel about it, Kate, with this idea of a shoe that doesn't last very long, costs a lot of money? Does it anger you? Do you think it's totally fine? What do you think?
Different answer on different days, I think. No, I think it's important to slightly take a step back, and that the reason that this shoe has been launched now is because, exactly as you said, there's Berlin Marathon coming up, and they've designed this shoe. I would hope that they're hoping for the win for a record or something. And in order for that record to be legal, the shoe that the athlete wears has to have been on sale to the general public. Yeah. That is why it's been released now. Yeah. And I suspect that maybe it is kind of, you're not allowed to race in a prototype.
No.
But you can make a prototype, not a prototype, by releasing 500 pairs of it at a big cost, can't you? So the cynical side of me is it's just a way of getting around those rules, and that also happens we were talking about it, right? So as a marketing strategy, pretty good.
Exactly. And that is part of it, really, and that's the modern part of running in the era of racing that we're in,
yeah.
and the way that super shoes have, are now very much tied with big events. You've got the original carbon shoe was tied to Monza and the first attempt at breaking two, and then Alpha Fly with the actual breaking two event that like, yeah. came later, and all these different sort of iterations of shoes, sort of like, you know, Road to Races. What's the other Adidas event? You know, the one that they put on and they break all the world records, or they don't, but they set all the times. So, you know, yeah. they're all tied in with shoes, and everyone has the sort of benchmark race that they want to win with a shoe,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can see where that comes from, but I think that, and maybe it's time to address the rulings by the IAAF, and the fact that it has to be on retail is kind of pushing. Maybe that's the reason why.
Maybe it's sort of a shoe that's never really designed for mass use.
Yeah.
It just has to come out there. I was looking back through the history books here,
yes.
and there is precedent for this kind of thing with the Nike Mayfly
yeah.
that came out. I think it was 2003, and it was super light shoe designed, I think, for 100 kilometres, and then it was thrown away. And some of the like, you know, it's almost like this shoe will self-destruct after 60
sort of
miles.
Did. It fell apart, didn't it?
Yeah, and it was almost exactly the same weight as the... As the Pro Evo 1 is, it was 135 grams. I think the Pro Evo 1 is 138 grams, which is so light for a shoe. And the Mayfly was a very different shoe because it was like very flexible, minimalist, much more classic racing flat.
Yeah.
But possibly the difference was it was never an expensive shoe. So even, I think it was $45, which ends up being about the equivalent of $74 today, apparently. And that's like 60 quid. So it was always a shoe that was like, look, This is an indulgence. This isn't a shoe for that long, but ultimately it's a 60 quid shoe. So
yeah.
maybe you can allow yourself to.
But then the one of the big critiques and a lot of the response to the news about the Adidas shoe on Twitter was God, this is such an appalling environmental
yeah.
cost.
Yeah,
yeah
shoe
totally.
That, which is absolutely true, but the environmental impact doesn't make any difference whether it costs 500 quid or 50 quid, you know.
True.
if
yeah.
it's going in landfill after 50 miles
it's, going, yeah.
it's going in landfill. The fact that you yeah. pay more for it is just more for you, yeah. really, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we are talking about cost, and we'll very much stick to the like fiscal meaning of
yeah.
that, like
yeah.
what it means, but there is a greater cost in this consumerism, obviously, which is the environmental side of life, and you know, there's lots of elements to that. Running plays a has a lot of work to do when it comes to sort of disposableness with its
yeah,
product.
I think in terms of landfill, I was reading before, it's like 300 pairs of shoes end up in landfill. Not 300 million pairs of shoes end up in landfill annually in the UK every year, which is crazy. And then I think every pair of shoes takes 1,000 years to break down. So it's like, and then you get encouraged to like get rid of your running shoes after 300 miles of wear. So then it's just think, oh, you know, you could be getting rid of like four pairs of shoes every year. They're all going in landfill. So, you know, that's kind of just horrible to think about.
Mm.
Yeah.
So definitely the environmental cost is something to consider when it's like this pair of shoes is only going to last you one marathon and you just throw it in landfill. Because they're really hard to recycle, running shoes. I know it's a different topic, but it's worth talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I think if they disintegrate after 50 miles, it must be made of like something fairy wings and unicorn hairs or something.
Very, yeah. very rare things. Yeah. That's why it's so much. So yeah. funny.
Yeah. Do you remember? Actually, you spoke on another podcast about this. This was the race that came out. It was called the Highland Kings Ultra, and it was like,
yes.
It was thousands of pounds, and that probably caused even bigger stir just because it was bigger prices. And some people up in arms that it was kind of like, this isn't what running's about. And I think maybe people are very protective of the idea that running is a cheap sport, well, and should always be a cheap sport. Maybe that's just not. Maybe running is bigger than that now and can accommodate
yeah, well,
all
this,
these things.
This is my sort of theory I was saying to you earlier, Rick, is that like running is still can be still as near to free as any sport can be. Yes,
yeah.
you probably need some shoes, but you can do park run every week for free. You can join run clubs for free and so on. But so many more people are running all the time, particularly we've seen since lockdowns, which is great, that you now have a sort of bigger scale from the free through to the very high end. And I've always just thought, well, I mean, it's a bit of a kind of inverse snobbery to say running shouldn't be expensive. Yes, it's like arguably better things to spend 20 grand on than some race somewhere. But if you've got that money,
yeah.
you know, people, and also people are really snobby about it. Like, how dare people spend this money on a race? But they wouldn't be the same if someone was spending that on a high-end holiday to the Maldives. they'd just be like, lucky you. Yeah. It's right. a weird yeah. sort of attitude that somehow you're not allowed to spend it on running, but you're okay to spend it on other things.
Mm. Yeah. We were talking before about golf clubs, like golf fee memberships every year. And, you know, you might not question somebody paying £1,000 a year for a golf fee membership, whereas you'd pay 50 quid to be a member of your local running club.
Yeah, it's accepted as being expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Or like, yeah, we were on about golf clubs in terms of, I know golf's a random kind of comparison, but like, you know, how much does a set of golf clubs cost you? You know, it's probably going to be more than £400 for a pair of shoes, but, you know, they'd last you for a longer period of time, I suppose. But yeah, it's quite cheap in comparison to sports like that, basically. Yeah.
Do you remember when we got... a cyclist on it. His name actually escapes me now.
Alex Dowsett.
Yeah, and he said he went into a shop and he was like, these are the shoes that Kipchoge wore to break the world record, and they were like £200. And he was like, wow, in cycling terms, like that sounds like a massive deal. Like I feel like I'm going to make that investment because the equivalent on a bike would be
if you suddenly wanted to get the same wheels as the world champ, like the one set of wheels, you're talking. Thousands and thousands of pounds, like do you know what I mean? Whereas he can wear the same shoes as the fastest man in the world for £270 if he goes, you know, proper retail. If he does a bit of shopping, he can get him, you know. No, I agree with you completely, Kate. I think there's this reverse robbery where there's a perception that you shouldn't spend that much money on running. Whereas if it's your main pastime and your main output and your main source of joy and the thing you dedicate all your spare time to, surely then that's the thing to spend money on, like that, because your thing. My worry about the sort of cost of running and the escalating side of it would be anyone new to the sport and how that
he feels they have to spend and
how
kind of money.
And how they feel about
the perception of
running, and also just like if you're not, there is an elitism to that, the higher end, there's nothing you can do about the cost and an associate aesthetic that comes with the certain kit that you have, or a brand will present themselves in a certain way, and that is elite. And then if you buy into that brand, then you're a part of that, like, aesthetic.
Yeah. Mm.
And so that's where I think an issue comes with cost and look and being part of a tribe or a gang, or you know, there's that side to it. But there's that thing of like, I want to start running. And if you don't know where to shop and you haven't done all that research beforehand, and you know that you can get the last year's shoes for much cheaper than the current shoes, and you go face value and you go, it's £160 for a pair of running shoes now. Like, that's quite a lot. That's a lot of money for someone who wants to launch into it. So that's where I just feel like there's a reason why all these things cost a lot of money. And I think that there are great ways to spend money in running to get the best out of it, and there's ways that you can just buy into the marketing and spend money frivolously and do it that way.
I don't know why I've just thought of this comparison as well, but a friend of mine recently from my running club was off to buy the latest like home football kit for his club.
Yeah.
And he told me how much it cost, and I was like, what? And you have to buy, but you have to buy that, like, if you're a fan, you have to, obviously, but like you're kind of, you're sold into buying that every season.
Yeah.
And that's literally just to be a supporter.
Yeah, right.
But do you think, any way to participate.
Do you think then that this is just seems more pertinent now in the cost of running, and because perhaps it's always been so much more affordable comparatively to other sports that people buy into, cycling, golf, football, any of the major sort of like things that require a lot of kit, cricket, I don't know, like pads must be expensive. So maybe it's part of that. Maybe it just feels like, I don't know, it's being encroached upon.
I think it's also a kind of polarisation thing, isn't it? It's that running has the polarisation of the free to the ridiculously high end.
Yeah.
But also people's incomes, sadly, you know, there is the cost of living crisis and so on. There's a polarisation of that as well. So, yeah, there are people with huge amounts of disposable income, but there's also a lot of people to whom, you know, the cost of shoes that we're talking about is simply...
Yeah.
Not affordable.
Way out of. If you were to try and save money, I think this is interesting because it's a bit like what you were saying. If you were kind of new to it and you didn't know any hacks, Jen, where would you save money and where would you spend money in running?
I'd say I'd really sort of focus on prolonging the life of my running shoes. I think these days there's this kind of expectation that if you're racing, you need a pair of carbon plate running shoes. You don't need a pair of them just because you see the people are at the start of a race, you know, all the kind of fast club runners at the start in them. You don't need to wear them. And I was saying to you before, Rick, like when I did my 70.3 last year, I did them in a pair of old Hoka Arahi 6s that I'd had for 5 years. They got a hole in the front, but I just love running in that shoe. But I think, prolong the life of them, clean them, don't go, you know, doing your gardening or walking to the shops in them, so, you know, you don't have kind of empty miles in those shoes. Don't sell into this idea, as I was saying before, that you need, like, to keep replacing them. You actually don't. But I think that would be my key tip.
What about you, Ben? Where do you spend money on save it?
I think there's bits of kit that you can actually get a lot of value from. I think socks.
Yeah, I think you should spend money on socks.
I think running socks is a really good one, where you can actually, if you think, oh, I'm going to spend £160 on a pair of shoes, but I'm going to buy a pack of three for £10 of, like, whatever cotton sports socks things, then you're not going to benefit. You're not getting the value out of your shoe or your running, because you're going to probably end up with an uncomfortable experience in some capacity if you've just got poor socks. So if you spend £20 on one pair, I mean, it sounds like a lot of money, but that sock is going to, all the materials and the fibers and the way it's stitched and the way it stretches and the cushion parts and, you know, the support that it can add to the whole thing and the lack of friction within the shoe, but, you know, the insole of a shoe and the footbed and the way that the sock cooperate or not cooperate with each other is where blisters can come from. You know, so there's a whole world of stuff where actually a good sock.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the best brands, like I do think Stance are particularly good. They've got a lifetime guarantee. So, like, if you ever get a hole in one, you send it back.
Yeah. I mean,
really? Yeah. Oh, my favourite pair have just developed a hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's very, very difficult to get a hole in a pair of socks. So you have to do a lot of running them. It's just money well spent, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, some people would say, like, but socks are sock, and that's, you know, and then...
You can feel the difference with a sock. If you put on a good sock that feels really soft...
Well, if you've ever forgotten your socks and either gone... Sockless, like I did the other day.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
You ran past me and Jen. We could hear blisters developing as you ran.
Or you just put on your regular, like, cotton thin, like you were in your suit. You're
asking trouble, I think.
And I think that's. I think socks. I think like stuff like. I think shorts can be like, you could
cut a corner, I think.
Well, not certainly. You can just spend slightly wisely. I don't think that you need to. The price growth in shorts is, there's certain shorts like quite utility shorts where they end up being the thing that carry all your stuff.
Yeah,
I can see where the expense comes in on those. If you've got a pair of shorts that you can carry, your phone, a water bottle,
three gels,
and something like that, then that short is like a, you know, it's, you've bought like a running belt tied in with, so there's more cost. But a pair of normal shorts.
Yeah,
like literally, like a lined comfortable short is a lined comfortable short. Ultimately, like, you can get very, very cheap synthetic stuff, which isn't great. And if you know, but you're talking about length of short is key to comfort. If they're too short, you're going to get chafed. If they're 80, 90 pound pair of shorts that are too small, you're going to end up with issues. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So the fit of a short is really the key there, and you can spend £30 on a good pair of shorts, I think. And
definitely.
So I'd say socks and shorts, and then. All the other stuff is down to the individual in terms of comfort, I think, really. If you find a brand that's super comfortable for you and it makes you feel good to run in, then spend the money. Yeah. Because you're gonna get so much more out of your running if you're comfortable.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people might want to go and spend, I don't know, £100 on a T-shirt, which is by a very boutique brand, but if they feel great in it,
For sure.
And, and they're out running in it going, I feel great, I look great. You know,
I'm more likely to go out the door.
I'm 100% going to enjoy it more. So I think, you know, spend the money on that point, on that bit, the bit that makes you feel good. That could be shoes. Yeah. But, yeah.
What about you, Kate? What do you think?
Well, I think that the thing that I would do that's the best use of money is join a running club. And I'm going to be old school about this. And, like, you know, you can see now there's this real growth in, like, Instagram running coaches and stuff charging over £100 a month and so on. You do not need to spend that. Go find your local running club. Am I allowed to mention my name?
So.
Wimbledon Wind Milers. Shout out to the Wind Milers.
Bleep that out, right?
Yeah.
Complete neutrality
other,
here. Thank
other
you.
Running clubs are available. Our fee is like £42 a year with the EA membership, £25 a year with that. For that, you can do 4 sessions a week.
That's so good.
Coached sessions.
Yeah, such good value.
What other sport anywhere, can you get that kind of value out of that money? And you know, hill reps and speed training and track training and so on, you know. And of course you can also follow, you know, you can go to the Runners World website and get free training plans, but if you actually want to do it with people, there's a really cheap way to do it.
And we were talking
earlier how there's been a kind of a rise in like running stores doing free weekly like community runs as well. So if you want to run with other people, that doesn't necessarily need to, you don't need to join, you know, a more expensive running club, perhaps to the one that you're a member of, Kate. It's like you can go to Runners Mead or, you know, Tracksmith or what, any of those kind of runnings, and they're doing these Wednesday workouts.
Brands have cottoned onto this and, you know, host things and do all that sort of stuff. So there's a whole world of, you're right, I think in terms of, but specifically clubs, because you are getting coached, there is a degree of actual education.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the level. I mean, I'm a coach for my club, so clearly the level varies, varies very much. but you know, obviously that will vary in experience and so on. But fundamentally, you're also likely to meet a bunch of people, and odds are one or two of them are going to be the same pace as you, and then suddenly you've got a little crew that you're training with all the time and so on, and that you can't put a, you know, you if you put a figure on that, you'd surely offer more than 25 quid a year.
Value. Through those like communities and clubs, you hear about, there's a race scene, isn't there? That's often very affordable kind of club race scene. And lots of these events have been around for ages. Like maybe like something like the Orion 15, isn't it? That's often talked about. And lots of these sort of classic races that actually aren't huge amounts of money to enter.
So Orion Harriers takes place in and around the Epping Forest.
There's a whole affordable world of racing that maybe doesn't get quite the same headlines, some of the big ones.
Cross country, doesn't cost the runners a penny. I mean, the clubs will pay the entrance fee, and it's not per runner, it's usually just an affiliation fee per season.
Yeah.
And then you can go and race, yeah. You do have to run up hills in the
demand.
But, you know.
And, you know, cross country, a good pair of spikes, don't cost the earth.
No.
Like, I'd say that's perhaps one area of where running tech and, you know, obviously track that's changed quite a lot.
I'd actually genuinely some of the cross country races, if you turned up in a pair of super shoes with like head to toe expensive
you had
a really bad win. Otherwise, you're going to get some looks.
What about you, Rick? Where would you save money and spend money?
Pretty similar to you. I do think like running is mostly about your feet, isn't it? So I spend money on shoes and socks. I've always been in search of like, is there one shoe that you could, if you want to do lots of running, is there one shoe that you could?
Kate's holiday shoes.
Yeah, this is my concept for the holiday shoes.
So I think the one shoe to rule them all has to actually be a trail shoe. It has to be a summer trail shoe because it's going to have like enough grip for a variety of off-road stuff other than thick mud, but it's also going to be pretty like easy on that transition to concrete. And I found a few that I think are good. And there is a good affordable one called the Terex Speed Ultra, which I think is like almost like, it's been out for a few years now, but it's about 70 quid. But I think that's the closest I've got. So I think it's worth, if people are like, only want to buy one shoe, I think that's the area to look in, is that kind of like the summer
trail
shoe.
Road friendy, but with a bit of grip.
Exactly. But I spend money there.
For our future, you know, looking to the future.
Oh yeah.
Episode. We talked about running innovations and stuff, and I said there should be a shoe that has like retractable soles.
That'd be brilliant.
Because then you can like, okay, I'm going to put it into trail mode now, or I'm going to put it into track mode now.
Yeah. Or just like a peel awayable.
Yeah.
Like you buy one shoe, but it has like four outsoles and you can just switch them.
There's a few trail races near me where there's lots of, like, there's quite long stretches on road, and then there's some really boggy, like, you need proper, almost fell shoes. And then you're on a bit of shingle or something. And you need like a Formula One pit stop thing where you go in and someone just fits the things to your bottom of your shoe, and then you go out again, and then they take them off.
So I think kit wise, we sort of just to try and summarize the kit stuff, because I think that this all comes with the caveat that you as the individual are down to being a smart shopper as well, and
smart
shopping is a great way of actually saving the money. And if you find a pair of shoes that you like or you want to buy, obviously support your independent local running shop as much as you possibly can, but that might not be doable, so you know, just be smart and shop and get a bargain wherever it may be. But to sort of circumvent like the whole kit thing, I think that possibly agreed that you're not just buying the tech, within those bits, those component parts of the shoes and the socks and the tees and whatever it is you want to buy. But you're sort of, you are buying comfort and you're buying enjoyment.
And style to a certain extent.
And all those things are actually like legitimate things that you should spend money on. They're not, I think that there's, again, to not try and not, to enter into running, it's not necessarily a money saving exercise.
Mm.
And I think that that's like.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're saying. Definitely, there's still a way of keeping running really, really cheap, which is great, and that's really important that there remains that avenue open that we celebrate that. But if people want to go and spend their money on some of the more like luxurious items of running, then I think that's fine.
And
compared to maybe going out and buying the best tennis racket or the best golf club, it's still going to be an affordable sport.
I think there's a psychological element for sure as well. If you know you're in a pair of shoes that are going to make you 4%, supposed to make you 4% faster or whatever, perhaps you'll just run better because you're wearing them. You feel like they're going to make you better. So, you know.
And also you'll wear them until they're dead.
Yeah.
Right? If you buy something that you don't like, the chances are that that's going to reach landfill quicker than anything else. Yeah. Whereas if you I'm quite tight, so if I spent a lot of money on something, I'm using that.
I'm getting my money's worth out of this.
Well, we've heard about the Hoka shoes.
I think that's certainly part. That's the responsibility of the runners to be mindful of not being wasteful.
Yeah.
And I think that's where that comes in. But we've talked about all the certainly with from a women's point of view, sports bras as well. That's
another thing that's worth spending. Well, absolutely. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to spend more to get a better one, but if the one that fits you, that's right for you, is more,
get it.
Then just buy it. That's worth it.
Yeah.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And also, they only last so long. You can only put a bra through the wash so many times, and then it does actually just lose the elastic, and it's just like it doesn't actually support you anymore. So I think you don't need to replace it all the time, obviously, but that's somewhere I would be like, that's worth replacing.
Yeah. Because then I wanted to talk about the bits of kit, which I would say are aren't sort of required. Additional extras that are come with running. So we're talking GPS watches monitors and trackers and heart rates and the tech and all of those additional things. I like all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And I think that lots of people, when they're training specifically for something, will gain a whole world of information and benefit from using, be it a heart rate monitor and learning their zones watches to track their effort. And I've got a new I'm testing for, which will come on review, but it's something that measures my core body temperature. And you wear that when you're running, and I've got a power monitor, and there's all these bits of tech that I've tested over the years.
Part robot.
I'm essentially Bluetooth. The amount of things that connect to Bluetooth, I'm pretty sure that some of that's ingrained in me now. I can sort of physically connect to them. But a lot of that stuff is totally additional.
It's optional.
There's a lot of upselling, isn't there? It's like when you buy a new laptop and you're like, at the last minute, you're like, oh, maybe I should spend 100 quid more for that little bit more RAM. You're like, so that I can,
Case I've got to process some...
Just in case I've got to run the Kennedy Space Station on my laptop. What are you actually doing? I'm mainly using Word.
Yeah. Well, I think that, Jen, we were looking at this the other day in terms of value, in terms of running watches. I think that the technology that everyone needs and the technology that everyone wants is where the real cost comes in. And you can buy a running watch that costs 120 quid, or Decathlon have their own version of a Coros watch, which is very good. And Garmin do their lower end Forerunner models of 55. And there's a whole world, and they're all about 120 quid, right? And if you shop well, you probably get it closer to 100. And I feel like that has as much tech in it as 80% of all runners actually need.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where the upsell comes in. Oh, I need my watch to do...
Yeah.
If I only knew what the pressure here was, the atmospheric pressure.
Like the Fenix, the Garmin Fenix. Like, does just crazy things. The average runner doesn't know how to... doesn't need, right? Like, I mean, navigating in the mountains when you're running in London, like...
Yeah, I mean, that's it. So I think there's a lot of... There's a lot, and I mean, maybe we're saying things that people clearly understand already, and we're the ones who are deluded. But you know, there is. If you want a running watch, it doesn't have to cost 500 quid.
Yeah, and also shop on Black Friday or deals like that, where you can get some pretty significant savings on tech. So you just need to be like savvy.
You can also pick up a lot of secondhand, like a lot of the kind of Facebook forums and stuff. You know, there'll be people who have actually decided they want more from their watch and they're upgrading. There's nothing wrong with their old ones. They'll sell it for 30 quid or something.
Yeah,
you also don't have to get everything all at once, do you? It can be a project in terms of like running gear. It can be like that. So you're getting into it and you're like, well, I decided that I needed to spend my money on shoes and socks. And
that's it.
And at the minute, that's where I'm at. And you can be like, okay, in 6 months' time, maybe if I can save that money for a running watch, I'm going to get that. And then it's going to be... Yeah. So it doesn't have to be, I'm getting absolutely everything all in one fell swoop.
Yeah,
exactly. You can kind of, it can be a bit of a project. And I think that makes you appreciate it more, doesn't it? When you're like, okay, what do I actually need?
Another
now?
Area where it's one up on cycling. You can't really do that with the bike, can you? I'll get the wheels next
month. Yeah, it's unfortunately all in one.
The pedals mumped in it. Yeah. The chain. Wait till I get the chain.
Yeah.
But do you think there should be? Do you think it will get ridiculous? We've mentioned the ultra race, which costs tens of thousands of pounds to take part in, and we've got shoes now that are costing 500. And
I mean,
what's the ceiling to it? Like, do you think things will naturally just ramp up as much as they want, and those who can afford it will pay it, and the rest of us will just carry on and enjoy running and spend what we can? Or do you think do you think it changes running the more expensive it gets?
I think people should not be bothered by it. Like, it's sort of, what does it matter to us if somebody spends 10 grand on a race that we can't afford to do? Like, it doesn't in any way negate our PBs or our races or anything. It's kind of, it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
So my view is just, well, and as you say, it will continue to exist, because if people are prepared to pay for something, then that product will be produced. Think of that. What's that one, people always do it for sort of charity, but like the, was it seven marathons and the seven continents?
Oh, I've got the price of that cake.
7 days.
It's the World Marathon Challenge, which involves seven marathons and seven continents, and anywhere between £34,000 and £35,000. And that includes, that includes accommodation, business flights.
The accommodation must be on the flights, given that you're doing it in, you don't have time to be in a hotel.
It is important to call out, I think, when you see something that's in running or any industry where you feel like that's not a good value thing, and that's like asking them to spend that money on this is actually...
Well, that particularly, because the environmental...
There's environmental costs.
Costs of like literally flying around the world in 7 days. Mm. But, I mean, you're not even... how can you really experience anything in that time?
Mm. You're
literally like, get off plane,
you?
Run, get on plane.
But shoes are definitely... I mean, shoes are getting very expensive, aren't they? Like, the super shoes are getting very expensive, and I think people's wages haven't gone up in the same way that shoe prices have gone up. So that is tricky, I think. And it's kind of, I think the best thing we can do is offer people some cheaper alternatives. Say, like, this isn't the only way of getting into running. These aren't the only shoes available. Like, there are deals out there, and running's still really enjoyable if you're not spending that kind of money.
Yeah. Also, you could approach it like, think how much better you'll feel about yourself beating Yeah. All those people in really expensive shoes.
Yeah. And you've got be the fastest person in the cheapest shoes. Yeah. That's the real.
You should get some kind of fund when you're like every person in super shoes who you finish faster than, you get a pound back.
Out of interest, how many of your PBs are in super shoes?
5 and 10K. But not half or marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think any of mine are.
Half. Mine's in a pair of super shoes. Yeah. My half is.
I mean, it's not, I'm not saying they don't work, because obviously they do. But like, it's interesting to think that like, yeah.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean
people
you're
who
quicker,
don't like the idea, even not on a financial level, but don't like the idea of racing in super shoes, because if they get a PB of a minute over their half marathon, that doesn't feel like they earned it by the training that they did. They just earned it by switching shoes. I mean, I think that's a bit puritanical myself.
I think that's bizarre.
Yeah, I said, so what, a PB is a PB. No one's asking you, oh, well done, you got a PB. Oh, but can you asterisk that for me,
I'm going to caveat this for anyone who asks. Yeah, no way. Yeah.
But there are people who do feel like that. Yeah, fair enough, if they feel like that, then they, you know, need to choose what shoes they want. But
What do you think, Jen? Does like the hiking of shoe prices, do you think it's a worrying thing?
I think in terms of it feeling, making running seem a bit elitist, it's like what you were saying before, Ben. I think if you're new to running and you're seeing people on Instagram or on TikTok, you know, wearing these very expensive shoes and very expensive leggings, we've not talked about there, they've gone really expensive.
Oh, yes, gosh.
And you think, oh gosh, suddenly this feels quite inaccessible. So yeah, I think it's just, I think we play a part in just, you know, reiterating that you don't need to buy these things, you know, that if you can afford them, great, but also, you know, running doesn't need to be.
Oh, this reminds me that, like, I don't think this works for super shoes, but I'm going to say I'm really old now, but my kids introduced me to the concept of dupes. So like this beauty brand, you know, like the Aldi version of this is dupe of whatever. And leggings seems to be a really fertile area for that. Like if you go and look on some of the forums and so on, they were like, oh, these 10 quid leggings from Two at Sainsbury's are a total dupe for the, you know, 75 quid ones you've been seeing on the
ads. Okay, interesting.
So, yeah, that's worth a look.
But then environmentally, how much are those £10 ones?
Well, I mean, that's true, but there's no. But I think in terms of making clothes, there's no guarantee that something that's cost 75 quid has been produced any more environmentally friendly manner than something that costs 10.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it's unlikely that the £10 one was, but it's equally not.
Have you ever come up with like a hack or like of a way to make running cheaper for yourself?
Running topless.
Running, that's brilliant. I see you around East London.
Until you have to go to the doctor with extreme sunburn.
Yeah. I'd also never. Yeah. No, that's topless, running topless. Carry out running topless, no way.
You've ever mended a shoe?
Yeah, actually. And there's a video on the Runner's World website on how to do that. So, yeah, I think it's very easy to repair the uppers of your running shoes. So you just need some rock tape and some elastic fantastic glue. This is a hack that I got from Dan Lawson at Rerun Clothing, which I think he's now co-founder of the Green Runners. So yeah, if you have a little rip in your shoes, it's really easy to just repair that. It's obviously harder with a midsole. If the midsole's worn down and you've got no cushioning at that point, it's like you know, I would rather have a more cushioned pair of shoes than the. But I think in terms of uppers, like they can so easily be repaired.
Yeah,
And when we were discussing this before, you had that picture of Jasmine Paris and her pair of shoes, and she's like ripped through the whole front of it, and you kind of feel like people. If a pro has got to their point where their shoe has done, what was it, 2,000
K? Yeah, I think it was like 2,700 miles she'd done in that shoe, and then it fell apart.
And it ripped, and it literally like a mouth opening at the front had just like, and I was just like, yeah, that's the point. That's the point. You should wear a shoe. Yeah, that's it.
You know, on Strava where you can enter your shoes and then log how many miles you've done them. I did that once and then never did it again. So according to Strava, I've run about 11,000 miles in a pair of Saucony Kavaris.
Yeah, great.
That's really good value for money.
There you go. High recommendation. Yeah. That shoe. Yeah.
I got into making my own gel spenners, you know.
And,
sorry, there was an immediate gag reflex when you mentioned that.
They're not as, I'll be honest, they're not as good as Morton. But no.
So what have they got in them?
First of all, Rick. We're talking about like feasible hacks that people. This is not a cost saving.
How much did you spend on the ingredients?
The ingredients and the pouch things that you had.
Hear me out.
It's about £15
outlay for a gel pouch, which takes about four gels. You could have goo them, and then it's up to you with the ingredients. But you know, you could put like a banana.
Yeah.
Not expensive. Bit of honey.
True.
Blend that up.
Pour it into your
You're halfway there then.
It's just run with a NutriBullet.
Yeah, it doesn't look that appetizing, I'll be honest with you.
Sure.
I don't think I'd be sure on the banana. Like, yeah. A mushed up banana.
Really?
I have a thing with them. I don't know about that. But the honey would be all right.
Spend the money on gels.
I'm saying you can make your own gels. Right, if anyone's interested, let me know. podcast.runnersworld.co.uk. You can have the recipe.
I mean, the other thing, of course, is that running is a form of transport, so you can use it to cut down on your, you know, bus, tube, train fares. Even if you only run a part of a commute or something, I imagine you're still going to...
Yeah.
You know, certainly I do if I run part of the way. The fare is less.
Just makes it like a zone one trip rather than...
Yeah, exactly. Or you go one way, so you're only paying essentially for a single.
I do quite a lot of that. Like, I've run to the dentist, the doctors. Like, I run to Tesco all the time.
Yeah, local errands.
Just for convenience, really. I don't have a car, but, you know, it is just saves money, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. Oh, what an interesting discussion about when running is too expensive.
What I find most interesting about this is actually that I kind of started this thinking... I'm worried that running is becoming too expensive.
Yeah.
And even just having this discussion, I think actually it's as expensive as you want to make it.
Mm. Yeah.
And the fact that brands are making these shoes and there are people who... My worry is that people will want to buy into running to a certain point where it's unaffordable.
Yes.
And I think that if it's there and they want to be associated with a said brand or a said aesthetic, then that's the wrong approach, or there's certainly like a negative way of spending your money with running, and you might not get the best thing. But like, you know, the super shoes, any brand of them might not fit your feet, might not work for you, and you're then £200 out of pocket and you're not enjoying running.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the worry. But I come out at the end of this thing going, it's actually on you to spend your money wherever you want it.
Yeah.
If you enjoy running, then you can invest as much as you can afford into it, and you'll enjoy it even more, I assume.
Yeah.
So I actually, you know, and much of what Kate's saying, I think that there is a reverse snobbery, which, you know, in my head was a bit like, yeah, maybe that's what I was thinking. I was a bit more like, oh, running shouldn't be like this. But actually...
Do you think you can make the case every brand has a sort of responsibility to have a budget shoe, for instance, or a budget
thing
range
is most
of
do.
Things? Most do, don't they?
Most the thing, but the marketing spend isn't there.
Yeah.
So you obviously, the big spend on like promoting something will be the shoe that's broken a record, or the shoe that's like a unique colorway, or a da-da-da-da. But you can go like Nike Windflow, right, for example, is there like step down from the Pegasus, say.
Yeah.
That's £100 shoe, probably at retail, probably cheaper in a sale or whatever it is. It's a really good, it's a very soft cushion, neutral, good running shoe. Reebok Floatride Energy is like a £65 neutral cushion.
Really good.
Quite a bit more race oriented, slightly firmer than the Windflow. But you know, so there are a whole heap of shoes that sit between that £50-£100 barrier in a sale, or just last season's model, or even just that's their price point, that actually are dead good. And just need, but they don't get really shouted about from a brand point of view, because they obviously don't want brands will not really want everyone to spend £100 when they might spend £150.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, and if you visit runnersworld.com/UK, you'll find all the best under £100 shoes pages, which we've written about, and you know, discounted cheap running gear or what we've rated and what we haven't. So, I think it's just that it's that thing of just, you know, I'd want to include us as part of the problem slash solution as well. We report on all the expensive shoes. We're talking about the Adidas shoe because it came in, you know, the news came to us and we were like, this has got to talk about. We're not telling people to go and buy everything. We might have affiliate links on the site which point people to the product, but that's part of and parcel of just the review. And if you want it, you can have it. And if you don't get it.
Yes, fundamentally, it comes down to your choice.
Yeah.
Are there more expensive options now in running than they were before? Yes. Do you have to buy any of them? No.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that that's like... I think that's the overarching thing, is that yes, it is becoming way more expensive, and that you can spend your money how you want. I think that's probably it.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to know what listeners have to think about this. They can let us know. podcast@runnersworld.co.uk. Do you think that running has become too expensive? Let us know.
Let us know.
Mm-hmm. Right. That brings us to the end of this week's Runners World podcast. Huge thanks to Jen and Kate for joining us.
Thanks for having
this discussion. And I guess we'll see everyone again next week.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.